Friends, I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin, and in this installment of Poetry Corner, we are discussing select works by George Watsky, aka Watsky. That's his musician name that he goes by. But back in my day, when he was a slam poetry motherfucker on YouTube, he went by his full name.
Pure. We had the beautiful privilege of freshman year getting to watch. I don't even remember what the poem was.
But I don't either. There were probably some that were like really popular back in, because that would have been like, what, 2011? So whatever was his most hype stuff back then, I feel like that's when he really started gaining popularity for his spoken word.
But it was like a fucking sensation, I'll tell you that much. Like
between him and Buddy Wakefield, I was gagged.
Poetry was huge at that time. Spoken word, like, my God.
Bring it back. But we do want to kind of talk a little bit about him. We used his Wikipedia page to like pull a lot of this information. So if you're interested, you can find more about him there.
Go to wikipedia.com.
Have you heard of it? We love Wikipedia. He is from San Francisco, California, and he started slam poetry at age 15, which doesn't surprise me because he just seems like one of those people that's been a little genius since he was a child, you know?
I would be too embarrassed to do slam poetry. Like, that requires too much emotion.
But he's just so good at it. I think he was like, I'm good at this so people won't make fun of me because I'm good at it.
And he talks so fast. Like, that's what was so cool about his slam poetry was that he can speak at just, like, Eminem level speeds.
Yeah. And he even had, what was it called? Like, White Boy That Raps Fast? Like, literally. It is called, Pale Kid Raps Fast. Sorry. Pale, not white. But yeah, he's also a musician. So he has, at this point, he's released 7 studio albums. Watsky, Cardboard Castles, All That's You Can favorite. Do. Cardboard Castles is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I haven't actually listened to it.
He's got really good music.
I should listen to all of this because I do like him. There's Time's Infinity, Complaint, Placement, and Intention. So those are his albums that he's released thus far. Also, he's published a book in 2016 called How to Ruin Everything, which is a collection of essays. So I was like, okay, fucking Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. President.
And also, on May 7th, 2020, he set the Guinness World Record for longest rapping marathon. He rapped for 33 hours, 33 minutes, and 19 seconds. And I'm pissed that it wasn't 33 seconds, because why would you do that?
Right.
What were you thinking?
Like, you couldn't have gone for just a little bit longer.
Yeah. Like, you could have just, like, drawn out the last couple words. But yeah, 33 fucking hours. And also, he's been dabbling in acting a little bit as well. He made an appearance on some popular shows, including Arrested Development and Doctor Who.
Slay, I love Arrested Development. Also, I just realized I said Mr. President. He was not. Alexander Hamilton was not a president, guys.
He was like the treasurer of the treasury.
He's a founding father.
He is, yeah. But
certainly not a president.
But you know what? I think it was last episode we admitted we're not very smart in history.
No. And much to my dad's disappointment.
But, yeah. But we do recognize that he was not a president. And yeah, I wanted to really throw that out there really quick. I did not even call you on it. That just goes to show how dumb we both are. Only about that. And other things, we are very bright.
We're very intelligent young women.
Yes. And I do want to preface this by saying we cannot perform these to the level that George Watsky himself can. Obviously, he's very talented, but I highly recommend that you listen to him like perform his own work, because if you haven't,
read these as written,
but not as intended.
Yeah, zero inflection or intonation going into this.
I'm actually going to read this the most monotone way possible.
That's correct.
That being said, I am going to start by reading Drunk Text Message to God. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm going to tell you about my night last night. Had a couple beers, you know. Yeah, got a little tipsy. Got a little existential crisis-y. Last night, I drunk text mess. Oh my God.
George, we're so sorry.
George! Last night, I drunk text messaged God. I just wanted to tell him I'd been thinking about him a lot and to tell him I'm stalking a church. I meant to write starting a church. No one spells drunk text right anyway. Last night, I sent out a buttload of embarrassing texts and then copied them to everyone I know, like, yo, like, sup. I was out sinning, curled in a bed. The room is spinning. It's all in my head. I can't get to sleep, and the weight of the world is the weight of my sheets. Here's the great thing about my church. You can keep your religion because my church is for those of us who grew up wishing we believed in an afterlife. And for those of us who were so close to God, we could practically lean over and make out with her. My church is sick of bloody crusades to the march of drum corps. I'll start a church that gets pissed off and starts thumb wars. Maybe a church that gets Mondays off for religious reasons. A church that throws phone parties and elevators to learn about praise. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We'll dance as it burns for 8 magical days. That was a Jewish reference. No offense to Gideon Bibles, but my church goes into hotel rooms and fills up the drawers with chocolate pillow mints. And my church, if you choose to come to Sunday school, you don't learn about hell. Hell no. You eat Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert-shaped potato chips and watch Chappelle's show. My church had 10 commandments, 5 precepts, and a workplace abuse handbook, but we partied hard last week, and I think we left them in a restroom at Chuck E. Cheese. Now we just go by a picture of a heart that I found on a bar napkin. My church tongue-kissed your mom last night. I'm just kidding. She left 5 red fingers across my face. We hung out with the creator. I think she loves you. She's beautiful. She's got daughter tattooed on her left bicep, son on her right. My church is at the center of the planet and has the most amazing stained glass windows. The glass is the floor of the ocean. The colors are where you look up and see blue and a manatee. I love manatees and the forest canopy. Tony Montana comes to my church and forgets he left his cocaine in the car. We play Stairway to Heaven on Hendrix's broken guitar. My church gets fucked up on communion wine, asks lampposts to be our Valentine. My church bar hops together, and my church, if you don't blow yourself to smithereens, you get 17 virgins in a room to yourself, or you go and play Star Fox together. My church got beat up by the skateboard kids for being a rollerblade kid, but rolled to school the next day on 1 skate and 2 crutches, true to the fight with a fist in the air, screaming, Fruit Buddhas unite. My church can feel its pulse in its fingertips, has 3 stomachs because our fear is hard to swallow, but love always has room. My church has a love bladder and always asks to go to the bathroom. There are drawbacks, of course. My church will not resurrect your dead hamster. My church will not play for keeps, wear Versace, give out baby Jesus Tamagotchis, and Tom Cruise thinks my church sucks balls. I'm not Jesus Christ, but I can turn water into Kool-Aid. And I'm not Jim Jones, but my church is like totally a cult, and everyone drinks the Kool-Aid, and everyone dies. But for some people, the Kool-Aid doesn't kick in until you're 105, surrounded by everyone who matters most to you. Yes, some of us go early, but at my church, you have to think about that possibility because my church makes you scared. I'm talking like waves of fear, like you're lying awake at night and you pull the blankets up to your neck and your covers are like a tsunami of fear. And you start hyperventilating, thinking about how you're getting older way faster than your dreams are getting accomplished, about how skinny your arms are, about how fat your tummy is. About how much it's gonna suck to eventually lose the power to think about all the badass stuff we do at our church. Don't fall asleep yet. Contrary to the popular belief, that's not where dreams get accomplished. The body of Christ is your body. The body of Buddha be your body. Your body be usable. Your body be suitable. Your body beautiful. You don't need anything different. Keep your broken cell phones. Don't delete your text messages. You might read those stupid ass, badly spelled rants over on a Sunday morning with a pounding headache and have a religious experience.
Some of those lines fucking ate. I'll tell you that
I tell you what, you know, it really eats when he reads it himself. I
Yeah, you
cannot
know
do
what's
it
like even
justice.
better though is when he performs this.
He has some very like signature things that he does, and you'll see this in the next poem as well, but he has an irregular like rhyme scheme and like use of repetition, either like at the beginning or end of a line, that really drives the poem's like pace. So whenever he's using those like repetition or using that rhyme, it like really drives the momentum forward, and then he'll kind of like stop it for a while and it slows it down. So he uses that to like really ramp up his rants, basically.
And the cool
Because,
part is that he does this all from memory.
yeah, I know. He's so fucking like, Like smart. It's wild. But that's another thing about his poems too, is like he is very smart, and a lot of them are like a political commentary or like a social commentary of sorts. And so he really uses like the pacing to actually be like a rant, like some sort of rant about something that he thinks is unfair or fucked up. And that's kind of his vibe. Like he does that in all of his poems. The other thing that he tends to do is he's got like this sort of beginning, middle, and end to all of his poems where there's a tone shift. So like it always starts off like kind of lighthearted, hee hee ha ha. And then it sort of ramps up to this point where we're just like, we are all like collectively having a panic attack during this poem. And then all of a sudden he like backs it off again. He's like, but you
Like,
know
don't
what?
panic.
Reread those text messages and you might have a little giggle. And I'm like,
Like,
okay.
cool. I just had an existential
Yeah,
crisis.
I'm still stuck. I'm still stuck in the blanket of fear that you told me about.
Sorry, I got wrapped up in that.
Sorry, I am tangled in that. And I will never get out. Yeah, he is just a little genius. He kind of reminds me of Bo Burnham, like
Yeah, a little bit.
where it's like hee hee ha ha, really serious thing.
Also.
But giggle.
But anyway,
It's
that's just the world, isn't it?
all for gigs. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he does remind me a lot of Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
This next one is called Letter to My 16-Year-Old Self. Sup, bitch? Nah, I'm just messing with you. What I meant to say was never give up. Always be yourself. It's gonna suck hearing that over and over as you get older, but as stereotypes start with a grain of truth, cliches begin with a boulder. And no matter what, you're an animal, a born natural, so you don't need some motivational speaker asshole feeding you the reheated inspirational corn casserole, you magical bastard. Get it through your brain, inject it into your vein, get infected with the strain, the strange idea, your reflection of the greats who came before. More than science, our bodies are history's oldest appliance. We're piggyback riding the shoulders of giants, which is how we survive when the ceilings keep getting higher and the light bulbs keep burning out. We learn by word of mouth. And when your time has passed, don't drag each other down, because being a crab in a bucket is mad lonely. Be the crab escaping from crab prison, who creates a crab rope out of the window made only of crab homies, because we're in this together. Future you is just past you with new molecules. We shoot the old ones out follicles. And hair is dead cells, so our faults get shed well, meaning our parts that are hard to adore get mopped up on the barbershop floor. In other words, although you don't often remember people's names or are at the center of attention at all the wrong times and spend roughly 6 hours a night on your side watching Boy Meets World reruns, you're capable of outgrowing that bullshit. I'm aware there is doubt. I don't believe in hell, but I believe in my parents' couch. You're gonna get depressed sometimes. You're gonna have weeks where you don't feel like eating, when gravity is working overtime like it's afraid of getting laid off. And you can barely lift your fork to your mouth, and you're going to have a choice. Do you want to see this world as ugly or beautiful? Want to know what I think? Well, go fuck yourself. This is my poem. And I think the universe is great. It's like God just chucked a bunch of candy into space, and Earth is a jawbreaker. So it doesn't matter if you got the biggest mouth. You can't just chew the world up and spit it out. You gotta savor it. From the grandest to the blandest nook and cranny, every crooked alley, every mountain, brook, and valley, from Candyland to Cali, that's been stamped by Rand McNally, ordinary is outstanding. So don't be impressed by mere miracles. And FYI, looking like a crusty hippie doesn't make you spiritual. You're gonna have to climb through a thorny mess of contradictions, underground rivers, and sometimes what you love the most will cause your biggest problem. Because you know what's awesome? World peace. And you know what else is awesome? Catapults. And that's just the goddamn truth. The world is so confusing, but you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine.
I love that one. And
Some of the words he puts together, I'm like, I feel like I'm having a stroke.
he says them so fast too.
It's like, well, my mouth is full of cotton,
But
so.
he does really similar things in this one too, with like the rhyme and the repetition. You know what I really like about this one is his like metaphors are a little more like out there, like
Yeah.
if, or I guess it's technically a simile because he was like, it's like God threw a bunch of candy into space and the earth is a jawbreaker, so you gotta savor it, bitch. Like, I love that. That's a good one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, some of these lines just fucking slap.
Yeah. And like, be the crab escaping from crab prison.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really understand what's going on there, but like I felt it.
That was like very Buddy Wakefield-esque. He's like, sometimes you gotta hurl crow birds and
At
mockingbirds.
mocking bars. Yeah, you got to be a little nonsensical sometimes to really get people's attention.
I
Get
like
them to
it.
listen up.
I love George Watzke.
Yeah,
He's so
your
fun.
homework, everyone, is to now go listen to him perform both of these instead of listening to us.
Yeah, forget we did that.
Wipe it from your memory. But no, we just wanted to honor this man. He's a very talented poet, and I think that we really should feature more musicians on Poetry Corner. We're gonna
Yeah, I
start doing
agree.
that. We're gonna
Scouts
start
honor.
singing for you all.
I'm gonna sing each and every line of these works of art.
Imagine we would get like reported
Oh
for
my
like
God, harassment.
harassment. But anyway, thanks so much for joining us. Join us next week as we share our interview with Mae Corland, author of Five Broken Blades, which comes out on May 7th. So when you're listening to this, I believe it'll be like tomorrow that the book comes out.
Ah,
So
how exciting!
crazy, so amazing. So read it. It's really good and it's really
We
exciting.
loved it so much. And then the week after that, we will be checking in on our reading goals. Since we are about halfway through 2024, we're gonna see how far behind we maybe are. I think I'll be caught up by then, I'm hoping.
I think so too, because
We
I
are
mean,
burning through some novellas.
if you all are following along with our episodes on a weekly basis, then you know we read Thin Ice by Cassie Mint and discovered there were six novellas in that series. So that's kind
It's
of helping
really
my reading goals a little bit.
boosted those numbers.
I've gotten through three of them at this point. So
Same.
far, Thin Ice is the best. I hope that
I hope it
at
gets
least one
better
of the others is
because.
good. I thought Cold Wood was okay. You know what one I'm excited for? I'm excited for The Gift, which is the sixth one. I think that plot sounds the most interesting to me.
I am on
Yeah.
Coldwood. Yes, I'm reading
Neither
that
of
one.
us liked Winter Ward. We did not like that
Winter
one.
Ward was
Predatory.
predatory. It should be illegal.
Yeah. If you know someone when you're an adult and they're a child, then that's no.
Then you shouldn't,
Should never be a romantic relationship ever.
yeah, be in like an intimate relationship. You know,
Didn't
that's
like
my
that one.
opinion.
So go ahead, check out what your reading goals are. Make sure you're all updated, that you've logged everything you've read so you can kind of see where you're at with your halfway point in the year. We will talk to you next time, and as always,
Let's get lit.